Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
We're good. Hey, what's
yeah.
up?
I love that.
That's a good 80s thing.
That's right? A cool bump for this one. We have new bumps this week.
Yeah, I wonder if the Talk to Me guy is no longer with us.
I hope we still have the Talk to Me.
We missed that guy.
I hope he does it in that guy's voice, though, where he's like, talk to me. Yeah.
Puts the lotion on the skin or gets the hose again.
It talks to me.
So what's up, Jesse? Another week.
Yeah, we're here at WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk.
That's true. The worldwide leader. That's
to do impressive. Comics talk comedy, huh? Mm-hmm. How about that?
And you're a comic.
I'm a comic. It's all coming together today.
Yeah, figuring it out. So we just we got to talk to you on Wednesday. Did you have any shows since? Did you do Thursday or Friday?
Just Friday. Mm-hmm. Thursday I had a Redskins loss at the bar, which was sad. That they can't put back-to-back wins. Together.
Right. They should have won that game, right?
Yeah, they should have won that game. But
Vikings quarterback still Randall Cunningham?
Yeah.
it's a sports joke.
Yeah.
Sports.
Yeah. Sports, folks.
Coming at you.
WS Radio, the worldwide leader in sports talk mistakes.
Right. So, Winston's, how was that for you?
It was fun. I went up because my friend Ed was there, and he begged me to go up.
Right.
Normally, I'm a little too stressed out to go up at Winston's.
Yeah.
But I went up, and it was fun.
You did like 27 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
Randall Light at his own bar. I don't know what he's thinking.
Jeff, light me at 30.
Yeah. And then I'll do 45.
Screw these headliners. Who needs them? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a good little turnout. We had some people. We had I think, two first-time headliners. We had Adam Wolfe and Dan Harumi.
Yeah. Has Adam Wolfe's never headlined?
I don't believe so.
Oh, wow.
I thought you were joking.
No.
That's not a joke.
We had him on the roast, but I don't think he's headlined.
No, you would remember.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, that was a fun crowd. A lot of people came for Jim Hayes. Mm-hmm. That was one of his first times having a real show featuring.
Right. Yeah. And this is just a tip that you had given him to not drop the mic for new comics.
Well, you know, he was very nice. And, you know, I told him beforehand because we had seen him dropping the mic all over town and doing the Chris Rock thing.
Right.
That, you know, hey, don't do it at Winston's because they can break.
Right.
And then you got to replace them.
Kind of talking
money.
The business aspect of comedy
yes.
is that mics are very expensive and you probably won't be booked again if you break a mic.
Right. If you break a mic. And you were saying that there's a comic at the store that actually throws the mic?
Well, his name is Neil Brennan, co-creator of the Chappelle Show.
He can afford a new mic.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he does a thing where he'll, in his joke, he'll actually throw the mic across the stage.
Oh, wow.
And then pick it up again.
If you smash the mic and it breaks, if you're Neil Brennan, you just have an extra backup mic. You just whip it out, right? You're like, oh, I'm good. Click it back in.
Or a wad of cash.
A wad of cash you just throw at the comedy store.
A wad of cash you talk into, and then that doesn't work.
That's Nick Crosby's voice that you hear booming through your speakers right now.
I don't know if you can hear. This is internet radio, but you can actually hear Nick Crosby on terrestrial radio because of how loud he is.
I'm actually 2 miles away shouting, and the mic is picking it up.
That's right. Actually, you could talk into a wad of bills, and it would work just like a microphone.
Yeah, it's called talent, Jesse.
It's talent. I always have to turn your talent down when I'm doing the sound. It's weird.
I always have to turn it up. Yes. I don't know what that means.
Basically, that's your reputation for being the loudest comic on the mic.
I didn't
know that, did you?
No,
did
I
you
knew that. That.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, everyone talks to me about how loud I am. Or they're
they
like,
talk
really
to
loud.
Me.
I don't know that song, but yeah sure. Song. They're
like a young Andrew Deans, many people have said.
Oh, wow. Well, then. I don't want to say anything about that.
Nick isn't one to brag, but Nick is actually the Kumite champion. There's a very successful show at the Ken Club on Thursday nights. And speaking about business of comedy, this guy actually won the whole dang thing.
He's
doing well-rehearsed, planned jokes. Right,
I gave it my business. Yeah. Yeah, it was a 3-minute set, so you know it was good. And I just went up and did
This was the loudest comedian competition they did over there?
Exactly. Okay. And they give you a safety cone that you can yell through for the rest of your life.
Okay. Can a brother get some hot sauce?
Oh, how dare you compare me to Jeff with
louder
a G.
than him, though.
You want me to actually talk about Kumite?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Kumite, because this is a big...
You know what? You know what? The only competition I've ever won.
Is that right?
Well, it's, I've never won one.
Yeah,
so.
I haven't either.
Oh, so if only you could have tasted the sweet, sweet victory.
So, from winning this contest, has this spiraled you into getting a lot of other paid gigs?
I'll be doing
spiraling is kind of going down.
Oh, is it? Has this spiraled up?
Has this nosedived you into success?
Well, the dirty side of success, yeah. I've started doing lots of cocaine because I am the Kumite champion.
Right, right.
No, I'm booked on...
Is that Japanese for cocaine? What does Kumite mean?
I don't know what it is. It's some kind of, like, fighting championship series somewhere that the guys who came up with the show know about or something like that. But I am booked on Leno for Thursday, so that's pretty big. Yeah.
David Leno.
He's got a show he's running out of his basement here in San Diego. It's actually down in Chula Vista.
And that's actually where Nick is living nowadays.
In San Diego?
In a basement.
David Leno's crawl space.
His gimp.
Take us through what you had to go through to actually win this competition.
I ran 3 miles every day for the last 7 weeks.
Really?
Endurance on stage.
Wow.
And
by running 7 miles, do you mean eating 7 hot dogs?
Yeah, I confuse miles with hot dogs because I'm borderline. Never mind.
I do that too. That's weird.
Yeah. Here's what I did, okay? Let me take you through this.
Should people be taking notes right
now? Yeah, should people
absolutely. I'll give you a moment to get out a pen and paper.
Break out your joke pads, cross out all your jokes, and write this over it. Go ahead.
Nick Crosby's words. Mm-hmm. I did Buddy Skip.
Okay,
oh,
Can you take the listener into what Buddy Skip is?
You know, Buddy Skip is really how I've refracted pop culture through the prism of insane, demented stand-up comic, and really my artistic ambitions with Buddy Skip are pretty lofty.
He already has a sponsor. Buddy Skip is already sponsored
John's Incredible Pizza. He's not really sponsored by them so much as he hides out in their parking lots and then runs away when their security comes to chase them out.
Buddy Skip's town.
And this is a character you created as a child because you were lonely?
Is this what Jeff invited me on for, just to harangue me about winning the championship?
We couldn't get Sacrilegious Dave, so we wanted to find out.
We got the next best thing, Nick Crosby. But seriously, a lot of people are thinking that doing a character like that is very weak-minded. And how do you feel
thinking
about
that? God, I didn't know Hugo Chew would replace Jeff Bilodeau. How about that?
Oh, that's really... rest in peace, Hugo. No, but...
you killed him and assumed his personality.
If we were to bring... Let's say this is James Lipton inside the Actors Studio.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How do I
prepare? Give us a day in the life of Buddy Skip.
Mm-hmm. Day in the life of Buddy Skip. Well, he gets up at...
No, let's go ahead and bring Buddy Skip in.
Oh, is he here?
I don't know if you knew
that.
Oh,
hold on. Let me get him. Hello.
All right.
Oh, boy.
He looks totally different.
He looks so much different. Hey, it's me, Buddy Skip, huh?
How's it going?
It's going great. I just always follow my pal Nick Crosby around, just 2 feet behind him at all times. That's what I say.
Okay.
Where are you from, Buddy Skip?
Well, I'm from Pennsylvania. I don't even know if that's true or not. I just thought it sounded good.
A lot of backstory.
A lot of backstory invested in this person that is me.
The voice disappears.
The voice. And the voice a little dodgy.
Now, buddy, how did you meet Nick Crosby?
Yeah.
Well, we met during a cockfight down in Juarez, Mexico. He was actually dressed up as a chicken. He was deranged on drugs. And I bet on him. He lost. I threatened to kill him. He said, hey, buddy, come on. I'll take you back into the States. I'll sneak you in through my trunk. I said, that sounds like a great deal.
Okay.
So you're from Pennsylvania by way of Juarez, Mexico.
No, I'm from Pennsylvania, Mexico. You haven't heard of it?
It's a good town.
Okay, and how did you get about getting this sponsor, Joe's Pizza?
Okay, it's John's Incredible Pizza.
Okay.
It's like you're not paying attention or have any regard for what I'm saying at all.
Okay. All right, so did you just go into Tim's Pizza and say... You want it to be picked up by them.
No. You see, I stand outside of a John's Incredible Pizza every evening and tell my stand-up comedy jokes.
To who? Okay. To the people in the parking lot?
Well, sometimes to the rats that are infesting their back garbage can. I don't know. You take whatever audience you can get, all right? I sit there, I tell them some of these jokes. Sometimes the John's Incredible Pizza staff comes out. You know, they're smoking a little grass. They enjoy what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they come chasing me with one-day-old breadsticks. They're pretty stiff, and let me tell you, when they whack you in the back of the knee, it can really bring you down.
So not every show goes well at the John's Incredible
Yeah, Business. Most shows do not, sometimes. I'm to be frank.
Have you ever killed rats in that alley? Have you ever done that?
Rats, no. I would never take a rat's life. Unless it was a rat who had informed on you to the FBI, buddy. That's someone I would take out.
Send you back to Juarez.
So do you just go to gym subpar calzones every week?
Yeah. I will not sit here while you impugn the business of John's Incredible Pizza every night. Wait, I got mixed up. I will not sit here.
Yeah, we might have our first sponsor on our hands, Jeff. You never know, so...
Have you guys ever been to a John's Incredible Pizza?
I just thought it was a made-up thing.
It is not a made-up thing. Really? So a lot of people have said that to me. There's one in Bakersfield where my friend Nick Crosby is from, coincidentally.
I see.
Okay. So you got to how did you reach out to a sponsor all the way in Bakersfield to represent you in the fine city of San Diego?
Yeah. Well, you see, Nick Crosby, when he brought me back in his trunk, he said, "Hey, folks, those are his parents." "Hey, folks, this is my skip. And what do you say he lives with us for a little bit?" He said, "Hey, no problem. Come on, buddy. You want to go out to John's Incredible Pizza?" I said, "Hey, sounds like a deal." And I went out there, and that was the beginning of it.
You've been performing there ever since.
I've been performing there ever since.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So how often do you get out to comedy? Oh, we got to, do you get out to comedy?
There's a red light.
We
got
to go to the break here soon, so we want to keep you on a cliffhanger.
Oh, boy.
Who do you think's a better comedian, Buddy Skip or Nick Crosby?
Yeah, we're going to find
that
out.
That's no competition. Somebody's a Kumite champion, one is not. And that Kumite champion is Buddy Skip. Huh? How about that?
Kumite champion.
Right. Before we go to break, we just want to thank Buddy for coming in. We got more
thank
with
you,
Nick
buddy.
Crosby coming back. Nick, can you get Nick back?
But, hey, I'm back.
Hey, Nick is back. That was a good transition.
Be right back after.
So we got to go to break here. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. I suck at closings.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
There he is.
Ooh, yeah.
That's him.
That gets me real excited.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the Talk to Me guy's still alive.
I'm so glad they didn't retire that guy.
I was worried about him.
He was the most popular part of our last podcast.
They let him out of the dungeon.
They're like, "I really like that guest that you had that sang at every break without talking to him."
He wasn't on as much as I'd have liked.
Yeah. We just listened to that part and then tuned out.
That's true.
We just skipped to the next part. With
the bumper.
12-minute segments of that guy singing.
Yeah. Oh. We're going to get him. That's what we have, just that for 12 minutes. Yeah. That might be more entertaining.
Tell me how you first started to sing about Talk to Me. Are you also from Juarez, Mexico?
Well, let me tell you. That's actually me. I sing that bumper. "Hello, I'm Buddy Skip. I'm going to leave in a second."
WSBuddySkip.com.
Oh, buddy, you just ran out of here.
What is this?
So Nick is back. That's the first time I've seen Nick and Buddy Skip in the same room.
I know. It's weird. The only difference is Buddy Skip has that little S curl in his hair. And he doesn't wear glasses. But otherwise, they look very similar.
Yeah, they look.
Buddy Skip does show up in a Superman costume, too, all the time.
I'm surprised I never noticed that they look so similar before.
So, Nick, as trying to be a real comedian, how do you feel about comedians doing characters?
I think it's totally illegitimate and cheap, and it really betrays their lack of originality.
Okay.
If I'm to be honest. You know, that's why I don't do any characters. I think it's stupid.
Okay. Let's say you got offered 45 minutes to headline Fat Panda Productions, Shooters Comedy Lounge.
Or East Tavern, either one.
Yeah. Would you do 45 minutes of Nick Crosby, or would you have a Buddy Skip come along for the last 30 minutes to make it a really good set?
Oh, that would put me over the top?
Yeah.
Buddy Skip? You know, it depends. It depends if I could invite my friend Buddy.
If he's available?
It depends on his schedule.
He's not booked in that alleyway.
I would definitely I would do it. I would do it all natural, baby.
Oh.
I do it all Nick Crosby all the time.
I'm here listening to.
Okay.
So you've been doing comedy, what, a while now?
Yeah. I think like 2.5 years.
Okay. And I had you in studio probably around a year and a half ago to do the podcast.
Maybe like a year ago.
That was over a year.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like never quite clear. In fact, on the last one, you looked up the date that I first messaged you.
Mm-hmm.
After that one, and you sent it to me, you're like, oh, by the way, this was like the first time you messaged me to get on Winston's. Mm-hmm. And but I remember, the thing is, it's like, I did it once, and then I waited for, and I thought it was so awful that I like waited months before I came back and did it again. So I kind of like.
You started at Winston's?
My first set, Bob brought me up at Winston's, and I just remember going like, please don't let me go first, please don't. It was me, it was still light outside, it mm-hmm. was me. I remember Kim Thompson being there, but I didn't know who she was, or, mm-hmm. or I didn't know her at all, and like three other comics and probably Sack Dave just sitting there drinking, just waiting, and then and they're like, all right, we're gonna get this started. And I was like, there's no one here other than these comics in the back.
Yeah.
And I was like, just please God, don't let me go first. And then sure enough, Bob was like, first up, we got Nick Crosby. That's not what Bob sounds like, but he brought me up first, and I ate it for 3 minutes. I had a story about farting.
Mm. That didn't work?
No, it didn't. But I mean, you know, whatever. It was a story about farting.
And how long did it take you to write this joke about farting?
Was that?
Well, it took me, I probably like wrote it.
20 years of preparation on that, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been working on it since I came out of the womb. I was like, stand up.
He's been crafting farts his whole life just for that moment.
They come natural to him.
Yes.
It was...
How long before you got on stage? Like, when
like
did
after
you think,
that?
No, but when you wanted to do comedy, how quickly did you...
Like, I was always a fan of comedy. I remember in college, like... you know what? I always thought stand-up comedy was stupid. I always thought it was hacky. And I always thought it was... Growing up, there were people I really liked. Like, I remember when I was a kid on HBO, I watched, like, Eddie Izzard, Dressed to Kill, and, like, I was, like, hyperventilating, laughing. Mm-hmm. Like, so there was comedy that I would really like. And then I remember, I didn't know his name at the time, but I remember watching on Conan Patton Oswalt go up in, like, you know, early 2000s or something like that. And like, again, just dying off of maybe a 7-minute set, five minutes. I don't know. He had me rolling. So like I liked comedy sporadically, but for the most part I would watch stuff on Comedy Central and go like, I don't,
yeah,
you know, people's like premium blends or whatever and not really care. I thought a lot of it was hacky. And then in college I got really into certain comics like David Cross, and then I got Patton Oswalt's album and that made me like respect comedy.
But at what point did you say, hey, I want to do comedy, and how long did it take till you actually got on stage?
Chris Curtis and Jason Brackett and our friend Tom and I started writing like sketches, and our whole plan was like, we had this like 3-pronged attack on comedy. We were like, gonna write sketches, we're gonna do stand up, and we're gonna do improv. All 3 of them. And mm-hmm. we started writing sketches, and I sucked at writing the sketches.
I can see that.
Well, screw you. And, I wasn't good at writing sketches, so I thought like, well, I'll just try stand up because none of us had tried stand up at that point. And we like did work on bits together. Like I would bring a bit, I would like tell them a bit, and they'd be like, oh, maybe you should do this or this. And that was like, I'd say it was probably a couple months when we started writing sketches, and then when I actually got up at Winston's.
When you started going into comedy, what did you expect to get out of it? Was it more just a hobby for you?
It's been like even 2.5 years. I don't remember what I originally expected out of comedy. Like, I do know, I liked the rush of being on stage. I don't know if I ever thought like, oh, I'll try to do this professionally. But I know that now I'm so far in that I'm like, well, at some point I have to try to do it professionally. Maybe other things, but be in comedy.
Right. Did you ever think if you worked hard enough at it, you could get like a endorsement, like a John's Incredible Pizza of your own?
That's for the pros, like Buddy Skip. Right. this started coming out. I think Buddy just broke his head in.
John's incredible accent. You know, he talks about sketch comedy, maybe not good at writing it, but I personally think you're probably the best sketch performer of the San Diego.
Well, that's very kind
comedy
of you. Thank
crew.
You.
I mean, they have you in like every episode of New Best Thing, and to be honest, I always think you're the funniest part.
Oh well, thank you. That's very.
I remember the first one that I saw you do, where it's you and Lauren O'Brien and that whole crew.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he keeps screaming at her, Melissa. From that day on, every time I see him, I always just
Melissa,
Melissa, and. Yeah, I just think you're hysterical in those sketches.
Well, thanks. And I mean, you know, also in like writing sketch comedy too, it's something I've gotten a lot more comfortable with. And I certainly don't think I'm a great sketch writer, but I feel like I can pull my weight if I need to. I've been contributing to like the Lights Out shows and things like that.
How have the Lights Out shows been? Or haven't been for a while?
They've been good. Yeah. I mean, they've been good. It's always like Kensington, the Ken Club. It's always weird. There's like not foot traffic. It's like hard to get people out there, but they'll right. usually get some people, and they'll definitely enjoy the show. And
I'm always surprised that like people that come to Winston's that are like from that group that'll talk about Winston's being a shithole. You know what I mean? And I'm like, really? Well, and now let's go back to this urine-soaked.
How dare you impugn my home bar like that?
I'm just saying, like, the only divier place than Winston's that I can think of is the Ken Club. I mean, they literally don't have lights. That's why it's lights out. It's like
how did they promote that show?
I know they flyer Adams Avenue. I mean, they do social media, things like that. I mean, I'm not super sure.
It's a great show, though. I mean, it's so much fun. Both that and New Best Thing as far as sketch goes.
Actually developing sketch.
It's really fun.
In San Diego. It has become fun. And I really, for a while, I've been getting back into stand-up and like hitting up mics and things like that. And just trying to work on newer material, but for a while I was just like, I was very content to be in sketches or to help write sketches or to write them myself. Like, there was a period where I was like, I really dig this, and I still do. I mean, it's a lot of fun to get up there and collaborate with people, and you get a different feel and a different vibe.
Have you done any more improv since that?
No, improv was the thing that like went way out the window.
Really?
Basically.
I think that would be what you'd be best at.
And improv?
You haven't really tried it?
No, not really.
I mean, is it different? I mean, you don't have to memorize lines for improv,
right.
So.
And you're a good.
Wait, you don't?
No. Well, I'm just saying, like in the sketches, you're a character, but you also have to memorize these lines.
Improv to me though seems like a different beast. Like we're stand-ups and we do sketch comedy, so it seems like you got to get to the joke.
Yeah.
But improv, from like the little bit that I understand of it, is like a different rhythm in that respect. Like if you're trying to always get to the joke, you're going to be throwing your scene partners like under the bus
right.
the whole time. Like,
well, there's different types of stand-up. There's long form, there's short form.
Right.
I mean, it's basically like sketch, but unprepared.
You mean there's different types of improv?
Yeah.
Long form. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's true. And I'd like to explore it at some point for sure, but.
Venti does improv. He's in an improv troupe, right? I mean, if you bugged
stage
him, I'm sure.
Monkeys, right?
Stage Monkeys.
Right. Yeah. I just think that would be a good avenue, especially because do you ever want to do acting or anything?
I'd love to. Yeah. But, you know. We'll see how many glass tables need falling into up in L.A. or something.
Do you think you're ever going to go up to L.A.?
I have to. I don't know when. Mm. I have no idea when, but I have to go up to L.A. Like, I know that. And I know there's a lot of people that hate L.A. for certain reasons, but and it's a place that, well, we can talk about L.A. later, but, like, it's, you know, it's going to be mean, it's going to be scary, but, like, I'm going to go into it knowing that. And I'm going to know that I'm going to get my ass kicked, basically.
Do you feel like you have to go up there because there's no John's Incredible Pizzas in San Diego?
Exactly. I mean, where am I going to get sponsorship if there's no John's Incredible Pizzas here in San Diego? They're up in L.A. That's where the money is. That's where the John's Incredible – that's where the dough is.
That's where the rats are.
We'll be back.
The dough, folks.
Yeah, we do have to take a break here. We should have Bob, possibly Renee, coming up for a little L.A. New York report. We got more with Nick later, talking if he's got any merch that he's looking to sell and seeing how he's making money now. But you're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. If you want internet talk, we got it for you. Talk to me. Bye-bye now.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
I guess we lost the talk to me guy again. Maybe they were too mad that we mocked him every segment.
That's true. Well, he was playing piano in that last part. He was busy. He can't do both. He's not a multitasker.
That was me playing piano. Hello, I'm Buddy Skip. All right, goodbye.
Hello, it's Buddy Skip.
Yeah, we killed Buddy.
Oh.
So we do have a New York report this week. We got Bob hopefully calling back in. I think Bob is with us, isn't he, Bob? You
Bob
there?
Hansen, live on WSRadio.com.
Hey, how's it hanging, you sexy animal?
How's it going, Bob?
How you doing, Bob?
I'm still alive, man. I'm doing all right.
Did you do some open mics this week?
I didn't do much. And this is actually my third day recovering from, I think I had the flu or something. I'm actually, I've been out of commission for a little bit. I canceled a gig tonight in Staten Island. For your listeners to come to my gig, they would have had to have drive 3,000 miles to the southernmost point of Manhattan and then get on a boat into a remote area in the suburbs that was trashed by a hurricane, and that was the show that I canceled tonight.
And how much time were you supposed to do on this show, Bob?
I think 10.
Is that a normal set time that you get in New York? Is that mostly the most time you're going to get?
A lot of them, a lot of spots you can get on a book show, it's more like 7.
7 minutes?
So 10 is a lot. Yeah. It's 10 is a lot of time, then.
10 is a lot of time. If you got a 10-minute spot, you're doing all right.
Is it proportional to how long you have to travel, like all the way out to Staten Island on a boat? Was that a 3-hour trip for a 10-minute set? How does that
work? Would have ultimately been that number is right. Ultimately, it would have been 3 hours back and forth for travel for that 10 minutes.
Nailed it.
Wow. Is
yeah,
that,
you were on that.
Do you get paid for that?
Stop it, you.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Oh, by the way, I do want to make a special point. I want to thank Nick Crosby for blaming me for bringing him into the comedy world.
Well, I mean, I wasn't blaming you. I was more like thanking you, Bob.
I took it as a blame. Oh, yeah. How are you, Nick?
You're good. You're like my dad. You're like my comedy dad.
They it's both disown me, sorry.
Neither one talks to you.
Larry talks to me.
So, Bob, have you been paid for...
I don't want to be blamed. What's up?
Have you been paid for any shows out there?
Yeah, I got $26 for a 20-minute thing on a music comedy, artsy kind of thing in a coffee house.
Mm-hmm.
That was more of a fluke. The guy's not really a comedy promoter, so I mean, it's not like... There's no exposure there, but he just handed around a tip bucket, and we did well on tips.
Okay.
And that was that. So I bought sliders and onion rings from a famous hamburger on Steinway Street in Astoria, Queens.
I believe that's the New York version of John's Incredible Pizza, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So in the year and a half you've been there, you've only been paid one show?
That's correct.
Wow.
Well, you still want to go there, Jeff?
That is correct.
Yeah, I know.
Jeff wants to move out there because of the money.
Why?
So good.
It's hell here. It's really awful. It's a giant toilet. I think I did this last week. I'm sorry. God,
yeah.
I don't want to repeat
that. Actually why we call you or have you call in is we want the New York report. Has it gotten better, worse, same?
Right.
Is it still a toilet
bowl?
Well,
it's doing better. I'm a good guy to know in this industry because everyone I know is doing well but me. So I'm definitely a guy you want to be friends with.
So, I mean...
So
is it basically like everyone's getting paid nothing? I mean, do you have any idea of like people that are regulars at the Comedy Cellar? Are they getting paid?
I haven't even been inside the Comedy Cellar during comedy hours. I won't even dare hang out there.
Why is that?
I just don't feel... you got to understand, the Comedy Cellar is like... We're talking like several decade national touring headliners doing stuff there. Guys with half-hour Comedy Central specials... can't get a weekday spot at the Cellar.
Really?
The Cellar's like an exclusive, crazy thing. It's like, you know, it's probably even more so than Caroline's. It's,
wow.
I mean, it's practically a tourist attraction in some senses. There's so many places, like, for myself, I've been doing more open mic hosting.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing, this place, The Laughing Devil, also in Queens. I did host two mics back-to-back at 8 and 9:30 last Wednesday, and came back sick with like a sinus infection, a stomach virus. So that's
from sharing the mic with so many. Yeah. Sharing the mic with so many people, huh?
And shaking all those hands.
Nope. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and kissing babies and doing all the stuff and saying the things and jumping off the walls and bouncing off the ceiling. You're
who's bringing their babies into these open mics?
So, Bob, before
we... weird stuff, man. You guys think you have weird characters. No idea.
Well, Bob, before we let you go here, what's the normal open mic sign-up? Is it different everywhere? Is it show up? Is it email in advance?
Yeah, everyone has different rules. Like some of them you got to email up. I know one you got to email up. If you email, you get on for 6 minutes. If you walk in, you get in for three after the fact. A lot of them are just lotteries, throw your name in a bucket. Find every single person has their own different wacky thing. Some of them, most of them, you got to buy a drink, or you're at least encouraged to. You definitely always encouraged to. Or I try not to do the flat fee, like $5, just to go up.
There are a lot of those.
There's some of them I will do. Yeah. I got away with one of them. They picked the best set, and that person next week doesn't have to pay, so I won one of those. So I figured, let me try, so I don't have to pay next week.
Right.
So a little bit of that. That was the Metropolitan Room in Midtown, if you need to know that.
Was it kind of demoralizing when you got out there to be a part of, in San Diego, you're part of the best of San Diego with Jesse Egan and Mike Vinn, and then you go to New York, and then you're kind of starting all over.
And Jeff Bilodeau is part of the best of San Diego.
Oh, yeah, I know. We're just naming people.
That's true.
I know. No, it's actually really hard. I've been I don't know if Jesse would return one of my phone calls, for Christ's sake. My God.
Oh, Jesse.
Yeah, he's Hollywood now. I don't know.
Bob likes to call me right in the middle of us doing Winston's show. When I'm using the phone to actually play music to bring people up. And then he'll call.
Sometimes I will text Jesse. I used to do this when I first moved. I would text Jesse like during OBC hours and tell him, please tell people in the lounge to stop talking.
That's my favorite thing. When he used to do that, he'd go, God, Sack Dave won't shut up. Stuff like that. Like from New York, he's texting me about what's happening in the lounge at Winston's. It was like,
so funny.
And I'll be like, holy crap, that's exactly what's happening.
I mean, do you have a plan out there? Are you going to say, I'm going to stay out for 3 years. If I don't progress, maybe I'll go somewhere else? Or are you there for good now?
I'm here until, I mean, at some point, if I don't succeed, my pride will run out, and I'll just have to go back to San Diego with my tail between my legs.
Mm-hmm.
Will you try the L.A. scene after that?
I don't even know. I think I have to make it to New York. I have to make this thing work. Because I'm actually making, Jeff, you asked me about being like a top local guy in a smaller city to like a New York open micer.
Yeah.
I'm making because I like to make the movies. I'm making like a 10 or 15 minute documentary thing. Mm. I started shooting stuff for. I have like 3 hours of footage for it.
Oh, wow.
That's
really
too
cool.
Much. But I want to make a little thing about going from like big fish, small pond to like little fish, big pond kind of story. So I got this old footage I want to do with. It's so I don't wear the hat anymore and do the one liners like so it's just so different. So I think it'll be something interesting. Anything you can do, any wacky thing you can make up to hopefully get attention for yourself.
Right. And the New York scene obviously has changed your style a little bit. Obviously, if you're not doing the hat, you're not doing one liners. It's like you've transformed a little bit from that atmosphere.
Yeah, totally. Like every new thing I do is at least a minute long.
Can I ask you a question, Bob?
Yeah, sure.
If your style is really transformed, like, do you think it's for the better? Like, you feel like you're personally growing as a writer and as a comic, or do you feel like it's because New York has put certain, like, that you're responding to something in the environment that you're not necessarily happy that you're responding to? Like, which one?
Both. I mean, they definitely New York forced my hand.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm pumping out stuff that I'm not saying is gold, but I'm just saying I like it, and I couldn't have written it while I was still out west.
That's really interesting.
So it has had benefit then.
Yeah, it definitely does. Like I said, because for me, especially for you guys who know me, it's for me to write a bunch of stuff that's all a minute long, you know, at least that's my shortest jokes now are a minute.
Wow.
And it'll be a minute and a half, really, on average, and then like a close will be two. Keep in mind, again, when you're doing 7 minute spots, there's actually more to the one liners, and there's a lot of short deadpan stuff here. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of improv people. You know, I'm getting off track.
Well, no, I mean, did you find that the one liners didn't work?
Or
was
it just that there are so many people doing it?
They got the groans and the hey-ohs to the extent, not the reaction. I really used to actually just work sometimes, and
There's a lot fewer guys out here doing one-liners than in New York. Is that true?
A lot fewer out there?
Yeah, I mean, when you did one-liners out here in San Diego, you were one of very few people doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying when you went to New York that a lot of people were doing that.
They were doing it, but they weren't, like, I was doing, like, a kind of like a, like an older kind of a Rodney thing, and they're doing, like, a Stephen Wright head birdie kind of thing.
Right.
And and it got, and they're either doing that or they're just doing real life stories or that are just no punchlines. I'm sorry, but it's true.
Yeah.
And then that gets old too. I mean, I love these comics. I want to do real stories. I just want to be all real life. Just talk about, what if you're a boring person though? Well, what about that?
Well, then what do you talk about?
Hamburgers.
Yeah.
Nicole Eggert.
I love those bits.
So you felt you had to dumb it down a little bit, huh?
No, I mean, I have a new bit on not voting, why I don't think we landed on the moon, new thing on Abe Lincoln. So it can be kind of, you know, I can get a little more cerebral, what monkeys taking over.
Mm.
Like, I'm getting a little more cerebral, but kind of like a goofing on me.
You mean like
thing.
Planet of the
like,
Apes? You doing Planet of the Apes stuff
yeah.
now? Okay.
I mentioned Planet of the Apes in it too, but very briefly. But but yeah, no, I've got I'm just doing a little more cerebral kind of goofing around, goofing on me kind of a deal. Like, you know me as a conspiracy guy and all this stuff. It's like here's an extreme paranoid guy that nothing's going right and that's
yeah.
But he's still Bob. He's still just being Bob. Everything's just not working, and he's trying to make sense of stuff. And
gotcha.
I definitely think you find your voice quicker here, but I do think there's a huge advantage to the local guys.
Well, Bob, we gotta wrap it up.
We gotta let you go here, Bob, but we'll talk to you next week. Just how your writing process has changed and how you go about writing now. So thanks for calling in.
We gotta pay some bills. We'll be right back. Thank you very much. WSRadio.com, everybody.
You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk.
To me.
To me.
Talk. Talk to me. WSRadio.com. Yeah.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
Yeah. And we're back for the final segment.
I really love the fake Nirvana music they have underneath that bump.
I always think it's like Nickelback coming in or something.
Yeah. It's great.
It's a little mixture. So I think that was a good segment with Bob this week.
That was good. We got the Bob Report, and it's interesting to hear that different environment sort of transforms your comedy. We were talking in the break about, like, traveling and touring and how you realize certain material doesn't work in certain places.
Right. It kind of makes me seem like a jackass because sometimes I'm like, I got a store set, but I don't want to drive 20 minutes to do my 8 minutes. And Bob is like, I got to get a 3-hour drive to get 10 minutes.
True.
Three hours to get there. That's just crazy.
I'm sure it makes you appreciate your time more while you're out there, that you know how much work you have to put in to get on.
Right. There's probably less people that are like, I don't know why I came here. I got nothing to say. I'm too tired.
Yeah. Who you guys want to talk about? You probably go up there like firing your jokes. Like, I got 3 minutes and it took me 2 hours.
Really? You don't think you're just tired from the 3-hour commute and you're like, God damn it, I don't want to be.
He does tell me, you know, like out here, people talk about a lot of the same things. He says out there, there's so many comics that start with, so on the subway today, you know,
there's
a lot of repetitive stuff.
Mm. How much stuff though, like, how much stuff do you write? Like a lot of stuff I write kind of will come from my car. So like, I'll mention my car sometimes quite a bit. And like, I notice like Jimmy Wolpert does that too, but he kind of makes a joke out of how much he mentions being in his car.
It's probably a West Coast thing.
Yeah. It's a West Coast versus an East Coast thing. Like East Coast, you had public transportation.
Well, we do want to open up the lines. If anyone we got about 8 minutes. If anyone wants to call and ask a question to one of us, the number is 866-977-2346, extension 2. And if we have an international listener, the number is 858-623-0126.
Yeah, you said we're big in Japan.
We're very big in Japan. We got about 4 listens from Japan last week.
That's amazing.
So we are huge. Oh, we might have got
we actually got a call. This one's coming straight from Japan.
It's just Bob. He just keeps going.
Bob. Yeah, he's Bob, like, I got something else to say. We might have a question, but before we figure out who it is, we do have Renee.
Sam, the engineer, is just talking to someone on the phone.
I think we got the. We might have Renee. The LA report with Renee. I'm not sure.
Renee, LA, Ancaster.
Yeah. So, Renee, whenever you're with us, just go ahead and speak, big boy.
Can you hear me?
Can hear you,
hello?
Renee.
Talk to me.
Hey, Renee.
All right. What's happening?
Good, man. Hey, you said that you got to see Daniel Tosh last night?
Yeah, I did. For just a few minutes, he popped into the main room, and it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you think that's one of the best reasons for being in L.A., getting to see good comedy?
It's one of my favorite reasons for working at the store, at least, is seeing good comics all the time and also, you know, big names like Tosh pop in
right.
sometimes.
Well, Well, Bob was just talking about how his writing has changed since he moved to New York. Have you seen your writing change since you've been in L.A.?
I've actually been doing a lot of writing, but not for stand-up. I wish I was writing stand-up, but I've been writing
scripts and
stuff and sketches.
Oh, yeah?
So yeah, I wish a novel.
So why is that? Are you trying to move into that direction?
He's writing 51 Shades of Grey. I don't know if you know that.
Sequel.
Shadier.
Slim Shady Shades of Grey. So how is? What's the deal with the writing sketches that you're doing?
I'm trying to put together as much as I can, like specs and pilots and stuff, because I want to get a job writing. You know, I'd rather, you know, get paid to do that than park cars, which I'm doing right now.
So you're putting a packet together, basically.
I'm trying to.
In case anyone comes up to you after the store and says, I love you. Look, kid, give me a packet.
Yeah, I love the way you parked my car.
I love the way you parked my car.
I love the way you left a script on my shotgun seat. You ever do that? You're a valet at the store or where?
No, I'm valeting at hotels. But, okay.
So do you ever do that? You ever drop a script off, put it in their glove box or something?
If you can write a third act anything like you parallel parked my car, you're hired.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I've been talking to comics that write for shows and have written,
In L.A., being good-looking is very important. How is that gonna affect your progressing in comedy, being so unattractive?
He always says that he looks like the love child of Robin Williams and Heath Ledger.
Right, who are both dead.
Robin's not dead.
Oh, Robin's not dead?
I call him Robin, too,
Robin's
by the way.
Robin's not dead.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, do you want to act at all?
I mean, I will if I can, sure. But yeah, you know, if I have the opportunity, I will. But you know, I'm not.
Is there anything you won't do? Are you looking into porn? What are all your opportunities?
Renee, are you looking to get into midget porn? That's what I'm trying to ask you.
That's a good question.
Who is this?
That's
who am I talking to?
It's Nick Crosby.
Crosby.
Crosdog.
Yeah, man.
Cool. Oh, yeah. Nick wants to come work with me in porn, I'm down.
Quick LA question. How many John's Incredible Pizzas are available for performing up there?
I would like to know that.
About 17.
Sweet.
I'll be rolling in dough.
Yes.
So, what's your least favorite part of being in LA?
Least favorite part?
There's a ghost.
I mean, the least favorite part? Probably, I don't know. First thing that comes to mind is traffic, of course. It takes like an hour to get anywhere.
Is there a lot of traffic on the 5?
Traffic on the 5.
On every road, yeah.
Dave Wright lives in
LA. I think that's in San Diego when Dave's driving.
Oh, okay. Well, we got to wrap it up here, so thanks for calling in, Renee.
Appreciate it, Renee.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Alrighty.
Keep on.
All right.
All right, so that was Renee Lancaster with a little L.A. Report. So, Nick, before we get out of here, are you selling any merch?
I'll be selling various fruits that I haven't eaten that are going bad at my apartment.
Are they from Juarez, Mexico?
They're from Juarez, Mexico,
so
yes.
You have no CD, no T-shirt, no nothing?
Oh, God, no nothing.
Are you looking into doing that, getting
rich? I got something. I'm trying to remember my own joke. Never mind.
You got a business card, at least?
I'll have a shirt that says Ice Cream Warrior on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
That actually would maybe.
Totally.
I don't know. Yeah, the merch.
You could sell ice cream cones after the show.
You mean be an ice cream man?
Yes.
Basically?
Yes.
The merch thing, like, it seems like a totally real way to make money, and I totally respect that people do. I just don't think I would look good on a shirt. I don't know. Like, I just can't see doing it.
What about just a shirt that says John's Incredible Pizza? Could you sell that?
Well, they might sue me if I try to do that. Just resell their shirts, basically.
I still keep thinking it's made up.
That's it's not.
Okay,
so, I mean, so at this time, making money in comedy is not important to you.
No, I always said it'd take about 7 or 8 years before you, like, can expect any return.
Okay.
That's what I always told myself, like, before I even began. It was
Crosby's rule of business right there.
There you go. It was like some Brian Posehn quote. He just said 7 or 8 years before you're good.
Okay.
And I just always kept that in my head. And
so you think you need to be good to make money?
Well, no, but
I mean, some comics
I would like to be
the,
good.
Get into the merch game pretty quick, you know.
I would like to be good before I sell money. It's not about making money. Like, I have a decent job. I like my job. I'm making money with it.
What do you do? What's your?
I used to work in a nonprofit, but right now I work for the county library, and it's super stable. It's a great job. It's 40 hours a week.
People still go to the library, huh?
You're damn right, they still go to the library.
It opened up like a nice new library in San Diego.
It's the downtown one. That's the city system. I work for the county. Screw the city.
Did they just go there to rent free movies, or do they?
That's exactly what they go to do.
And then take a dump if they're homeless. That's a big part of your business, isn't it? Is sort of homeless
people defecating.
Homeless lounge. You have the adult section, the juvenile.
Look, I'll tell you some poop stories later, but some terrifying poop stories. But yeah, they mostly just, you know, DVDs, music, use the computer.
Does your work know you do comedy?
Some people, and I hate it. As soon as anyone finds out you're in comedy, tell me a joke.
Mm-hmm. Right. What's your response to that?
No. It's just no. I'm not going to do that because it's awful.
Do you invite them to the shows you do?
If I become friends with people, I'll like invite them. But even then, I don't want to bug them about it. You know, I don't want them to feel obligated to come. And I honestly do better when I don't know anyone in the audience.
You haven't written any librarian humor jokes yet?
I did try one, but they tend to be a little specialized, so I kind of have to pick the crowds to which I tell them. But
how about that Dewey Decimal System, huh, folks? Yeah.
We're coming up, so I've done it in front of you.
We're coming up to the end, Nick. Where can people catch you?
Outside of it. They can catch me. They can catch me just around town.
Okay, that's right. Really specific. Jesse, where's your next gig?
I'll be at the American Comedy Company on Wednesday coming up here, so check me out.
Oh, Friday, Winston's. I'll be co-headlining it with Eric Westland Friday.
That'll be a good show for 15 minutes.
That will
and
be.
And then
my 15.
Yeah. So, well, thanks so much for listening. I think this was, we're getting some of the kinks out. So you're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate your listens in Japan.
Comics.comedy.com.
Org.
Buddy Skip.